You are listening to the Magic of Kanab podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Welcome to another episode of the Magic of Kanab. I'm your host, Hal. Today, we're here with Casey Groh and Mark Groh and Camille Johnson-Taylor, Executive Director at Visit Southern Utah. Casey is a native Kanabian. She runs an event with her husband, Mark, which is locally well-known. Mark is a local chiropractor, and the event is called Find the Spine. And so we're just going to have a conversation here this morning. So Find the Spine. Tell me about it, Mark. Would you tell me a little bit about that? When it started? What's up with it?
So we've been doing Find the Spine for 5 years. And when we first came here 6 years ago, I really wanted to do something to impact the community, focused around getting people outdoors, especially families. We like to go hiking with our kids. We take them camping, fishing, all that kind of stuff. So I'm from San Diego, and I worked a lot with the high schools in San Diego as well. We have an office out there. And the big issue is kind of a nationwide issue, and that's that we're having a lot of people just getting locked indoors. And I feel like we're getting too used to living on phones, living on games. And so the whole focus was, how can we get people outdoors as a family? And so we were spitballing ideas, and there's a similar event in St. George where they do like a rock race, rock challenge, something like that. And they throw out some clues, and you try and go find a rock in city limits. So I wanted to try and get people more on trails and more out in the town. And so we just thought, well, let's throw out some money and give out some clues and make it so anyone can find this thing so that kids aren't too discouraged. And so the whole premise is, it's somewhere on public land, BLM land. It's wherever a four-year-old can get to it. So every year, I'll record my son. He's now five, so I haven't recorded him. The last couple of years, I'd record him doing the whole trail from start to finish. And sometimes he's in rain boots, and it's in the middle of July, and he's just trekking around, and we're recording him. But just so people couldn't question that a kid couldn't find it. And it might be a couple miles in there. It might be on something kind of technical. But as long as a kid could do it, then I felt comfortable that anyone could do it. But the whole premise is, get your kids together and go in the hills. And so to try and help motivate them even further, we put goodie bags out on the trails with like candy or waters or hats, shirts, freebies from like local businesses. Because the whole idea is, it's a community event. And so we try and just bribe people to get on the trails with freebies and goodies and that kind of stuff. And the whole premise was, let's just try and get a big scavenger hunt together and get people outdoors. And what's so cool about it is, even the first year, we do one clue every day. And the first year, locals were saying, we've never been on this trail. We've never been on that trail before. And as you're walking around town, you're seeing people with the Find the Spine shirts on, and it's the whole family. And a lot of them are people that you probably wouldn't assume go out hiking very often, but they are, because they're motivated and the kids really want to get out there. And so they're dragging the parents out. And then the first couple of years, probably my favorite part about it was, people that had to work like a normal day shift, they'd be out there and you'd see a headlamp. Because every night we go out and we hide freebies on the trails, all the goodie bags. And so we're hiking 15, whatever miles every night, just dropping bags on the ground on all the trails. And so you'd see those diehards, and there's just a little spotlight up Squaw Trail or Bunting Trail. And they're just out there trying to find this spine as hard as they can and using every resource possible to try and find this thing. And it's just really cool, because it gets people out and it gets them passionate about the outdoors, and they see things they've never seen before. They'll find outlaw hideouts. They'll find petroglyphs, all sorts of cool stuff, and then that just gets them excited to get outside. And then they're getting their kids, and their kids are liking it. And if I think the biggest issue today is just getting kids off devices, and parents as well. You know, we're always on the Facebook, the social media stuff. And so if you can try and just find some way to get them excited about getting outside, and at least be a catalyst for maybe starting a new trend, that's the big focus on it. And I think it's done really well. Each year it's grown more and more, and people get more excited about it. Each year, people will reach out to us months before the event, trying to plan their family vacations. They're in town for Find the Spine. And so that's really cool to see that they're prioritizing that quality family time, which is kind of a lost thing, in my opinion, is just getting out with your family and doing family things that's not just around a TV, which is all right, because we like watching movies with our kids. But it's cool to get outside and find new things, experience new adventures, and just kind of get out of your comfort zone a little bit.
Mark, that's amazing. That's great. I love that description. And what a worthwhile thing.
Thanks.
Yeah, amazing. I've got to tell you quickly, before we moved back down, it was probably 3 years ago, we were visiting. I was riding horses locally. And this, I don't know how to describe him, I guess a vagabond came up to us. And he comes up with his dog in tow, and he says, excuse me, can you know where there's a body of water nearby, like within a mile or two of here? I'm like, well, let me think. Are you thirsty? We have some water. He's like, no. I'm trying to find the spine. I did not know what that meant at that time. I thought, what is he saying? Is he out of his mind? Find the spine. Oh, it's a local thing. I said, oh, okay. I said, yeah, there's some water maybe 2 miles back that way. There's a little clay, hole right there, a little clay reservoir. And he says, oh, thanks. He walks off. My wife's like, wow, he's on something majorly. And I think both of us were very confused. But it was crazy. In the middle of nowhere, you've got this guy. And we did ask him where he's from, Ogden area. I remember that. So he came down from Ogden with his dog in the middle of nowhere looking for that spine. So how interesting. I know that was my first introduction.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'd say probably my funniest story to date is the first night of Find the Spine 2 years ago. We're down Pews Canyon. We're down Tom's Canyon right before you start to climb up the hill. Mm-hmm. And I'm out with Cade Glazier and we're dropping freebies and we see a car parked in the very back of Tom's Canyon. And I thought, this is weird. And you can see a flashlight and a car. And we walk up to it and there's a guy. And I said, hey, are you in trouble? Like, how'd you get your car back here? There's no road back here. And it was this little Honda Civic, this old beat up vehicle. Mm-hmm. And somehow he made it back there. And he said, no, I need to jump my car. And I said, I don't have a car with me to help you jump it. And he says, no, I got it. I got a couple AA batteries and I'm going to jump it. And I thought, this guy's out of his mind. He takes 2 AA batteries out of his pocket, sets them on the battery of his car, gets back in his car and tries to turn over the engine.
Wow.
Much to no one's surprise.
Wow.
Nothing happens. And so we hike up to the top of the hill and I called dispatch and I said, we got a loony back here. Can you come help this guy out?
Well, based on our 2 stories, Mark, I'm wondering what kind of clientele are you attracting to this event?
Anyone with some energy, we'll take it.
That's right. Okay. Well, Casey, let's bring you in real quick. And Mark, I know you have to leave soon, so whenever you need to, no problem at all.
Thank you.
But Casey, let's hear your take on this Find the Spine and what the origins are. What's your perspective on this whole event?
Yeah, so it just started out as an idea, 6 years ago now. And it's really evolved into something that I don't think that we ever expected when we started. I mean, at first, Mark, he was talking about doing freebies and stuff on the trail. That all started because we had hit it out in the hills and people are out looking and they weren't finding anything. And, we had a friend and we were driving around and I said, let's go by Mark's office and get the money that people are buying shirts with and go give it to the people out on the trails. And so we drove into his office and I remember running in and give me all the cash. I'm going to go give it. And he was like, huh? Wait, what? And I was like, let's go. Let's do this. And so we took it and we started just literally taping it all over the place. We would tape it in the middle of the road and we would tape it to, gas pumps and because people were driving and we would tape it to the car washes because people were, having to clean their cars when they came in and at the start of trailheads. And we were just going out and finding people and we'd tell them come find us and we'll give you another clue. And it's really evolved since then quite a bit.
Well, so I had a thought when Mark was talking, I just thought, and he said that you take your 4-year-old out and if the 4-year-old has to be able to get there and you're having, is it he or she?
It's a he.
He. Go out on trails with as much interest as this and as much fascination that it's drawn over time. I'll bet they're kind of watching for you guys to leave the door with videotape at a distance to see if they can just cut to the chase and find out where you guys are going to put that.
Yeah, we get that a lot. So, people are always, they're joking, but they're like, we're going to put trackers on your cars and
right.
We're going to do, follow you and stuff. And it's so much so that we literally don't even take our own cars when we go do it. And this is kind of a funny story. So not this last year, but the year before, my husband had me go hide it. And this is the first time that I've ever hidden it before. I've gone with him, but this is the first time I ever went by myself. And so we went out I went out and I was so nervous. It was during COVID time. And I had these sunglasses on and I was in my mom's old beater car and I had a hat on. And I had a mask because it was COVID. And I was out on the trail and I was so convinced that someone was watching me with binoculars somewhere. And I was walking and it was on the Bunting Trail and we put it right at the start of the trail. And so I waited until all the cars left before I got out of the car. And then I got out and I went over and I was sitting there getting ready to put it in this tree trunk is where we were putting it, we had decided. And this car drove up the road. And if you know the area, there's like an old road that you can go from one trail to the other trail. So the Bunting up to the Cottonwood.
Right.
And this old car drove up to the Cottonwood. And I'm thinking, okay, like they're going to turn around and leave in just a second. Cause it was dusk. It was dark or getting dark outside. And they went up there and it just like you couldn't see because you can't see the parking lot from where I was.
Yeah.
And it was just there. And I was 100% convinced that somebody had watched me drive out there. They had gone up there. They got their binoculars out and they were like watching me from the I was so convinced that they were. I was like hiding in a ball on the ground and I was like calling Mark and I was like, I need you to come up here. I need you to help. And he's like, you just need to chill out and just hide this side. And I'm like, they're watching me. I know they're watching me. And he's like, you just need to calm down and do it. Just
that
hide it and get
too
out
funny.
Of there. Oh, it was bad. I'm like, I'm never doing this again. Too yeah, much pressure for me.
Right, because the event starts maybe the next morning, let's say. You're giving the clues out. People are out searching. And it was taken the night before by somebody who was staking you out.
Oh, I was convinced. I was convinced. And, like, we always hide it at different times. Like, we've hidden it months before. We've hidden it the day before. We've hidden it weeks before.
Yeah.
Like, it's always different. And we have cameras on it and stuff. But, yeah, it's a little... I mean, when we hid it a few months before, we were nervous that, like, the weather. Like, we got really bad rains. And we're like... We hope it's still there.
Yeah.
Like, let's pull up the camera footage. So, yeah.
So it's fun. It's great. But there's a few stresses involved.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell.
For sure.
Well, how can families get involved in this? How do they find out about it if they don't know already? How can they participate? Any words of advice you have?
Yeah, so we post everything mostly online on Facebook and Instagram. I would probably say that Facebook has a little more like wiggle room of like giving information like that as opposed to Instagram. So that's where the majority of the information is. We do have a website also, findthespine.com, that you can go to and get information from there. But yeah, we post everything. And then also the participants that year can get text alerts. So like my husband said, we are trying to get people off the social media. So it's kind of hard to like be like, get off social media and then get on social media to find all the information. So like we send out text alerts so that people don't have to constantly be refreshing and stuff. So they just get like a reminder. Like as soon as it's found, they'll get an alert that says, you know, it's been found. And
that's great. So you've made it quite easy.
Well, we try.
Yeah. Get off social media, kids, but actually get back on.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's bring in Camille. So Camille Johnson-Taylor is the executive director, King County Office of Tourism. So Camille, what's been your experience with this event, and how do you think it's impacted the community? What are your overall thoughts?
Oh, my gosh. I love Find the Spine. We do a lot of events. The county puts on events, but this is totally private. I love that Casey and Mark created this, and it has created so much enthusiasm in our community. Even my daughter, so my daughter's family just moved back. I'm a grandma, so Casey has young kids. I have young grandkids, and I love that they get out on the trail. It's kind of hilarious that, you know, my 3-year-old grandson is like, Nana, we're looking for the spine. Can you help us find the spine? So they were even out on the trail. But even beyond that, like, we had tried so hard for so many years to try and get our locals to be better ambassadors of what we have here locally. And we created adventure maps. We even did familiarization tours with the frontline staff at businesses to take them to places. But this event has taken us ahead light years of people getting aware of our local assets and being enthusiastic about them. And then I was just going to tell you, everyone has like this connection to Find the Spine. So everyone thinks I'm more of an expert than I probably am. So I get texts and calls all the time about their clues. Do you know where this would be? And so I have been right a few times, but it hasn't helped anybody find the femur or the spine. But one time I was going to tell with Casey here. So we were clear out in Johnson Canyon. We were probably, I don't know, chasing a red herring, but I was looking at the lighting. It was like beautiful lighting. I was taking pictures. I'm like, this is so pretty. And Marley's like, Mom, focus, look for the spine. But I think that's probably part of their intention is just to get people outside and excited. So I didn't even care really about the spine. I just was enjoying the hike and being outdoors.
What a great excuse to get out and hike.
Seriously, they've done such an amazing job. Everybody looks forward to it. It's grown every year. It's just been a great community event. So I'm super excited and we love that they do it.
Love it. So in all of this exploring of where you might hide the spine covertly at nighttime when you have a mask on after you've dyed your hair and you've got a black trench coat on, whatever it is that you're doing, what are some of your favorite hikes you've discovered through this process? Maybe one or two that you just think, oh, what a jewel, and you've got to go there if you can.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting if you know the area at all. Like Camille was saying, you know, people will ask questions as to like where things are and what you're what you're looking for. And it's so interesting to hear people break clues down to me and say like, oh, like you said this and this and this, and that's sending me directly here. And I'm thinking, holy crap, they're totally right. Like that is dead on, but that's so not right. Like that's also not. And you learn so much more. I even learn from other people so much about the area that like I didn't know because they're telling me things that they know. And then they're talking to their friends who are telling things that they don't know. And like she said, people are learning so much about our area that you didn't know before. But through this, I had never been up the Granoff Trail. That's probably my favorite hike in Kanab now. We found that on year two, the ACE people were out there. We had hidden it near the creek, and they were creating the trail on the other side of the creek. And so everybody thought that it was on that other side. And I didn't even know that was there at the time. And it's my favorite trail in Kanab now. Wow. Yeah. And my kids love it. I remember we hiked up that year with our 4-year-old at the time, or maybe he was 3. Anyways, we hiked up and he forgot socks. He didn't bring socks. And I remember Mark had to carry him on his shoulders the whole way. And he was like dripping sweat. And like, I just love it. And let's see, I'm trying to think of the other trails that I really like. I like Tiny Canyon. That's behind the gun range. If you stay away from the gun range, people always, whenever we hide things over there, they're always near the gun range. It's never, ever, ever going to be in some place that you're going to get hurt, right?
Right.
But
right.
There is a trail just to the left of it that if you stay on that trail and go back behind it, it's really beautiful back up in there. Yeah. And then I'm a favorite of like Mansard and Bunting and the Dino Tracks. The Dino Tracks is great for little kids. I mean, like all the kids can go on all of them if you take enough breaks and stuff, but.
Yeah. Well, at this point, you could actually take Camille's job over because you know the trails so
she
well.
She really could. I actually, kind of like I didn't know about Tiny maybe. Canyon. I'm like, well, I just learned it. Actually, sometimes too, we don't know the names. We know there's a canyon, but I didn't know it was named that. That's great.
Well, so I've actually heard it called Tinny Canyon.
Yeah, so Mark was going to be like, don't you dare call it Tiny. It's spelled Tiny. Mark calls it Tinny. It's spelled like Tiny. I call it Tiny Canyon.
Yeah, how can you, right.
We'll wait till the Office of Tourism names it, and then we'll start calling it that.
There's nothing official. You might, who knows who's right?
Yeah, I think my naming of canyons or assets has been revoked since I named Belly the Dragon, Belly the Dragon. So
that's funny. Well, big thanks to Mark and Casey Groh, who spent some time with us this morning. This has been fascinating to find out about the origins of the event, the Find the Spine event, and how it's gone, how it's evolved over the years. It's actually been really, really interesting. And boy, nothing creates as much local pulse as a bunch of people out in the hills trying to find the magic spine and the accompanying $5,000, right, Shaden?
Yep. Actually, when I found it, it was $2,000.
$2,000?
Yep.
Okay, and we kind of jumped the gun there a little bit, but I have Shaden Troy with us today. And Shaden found the spine the very first year they started this in 2018. He was the treasure hunter extraordinaire. So, Shaden, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you lived here in Kanab?
I've lived here all my life, born and raised here.
Yeah.
I really just love it here.
Nice. And you graduated from high school just this last spring, correct?
Yes, I did.
And you're working here locally.
Yep.
And although this isn't a visual, I can tell you he's a fine, strapping young man here I'm looking at. So, yeah, just launch in. Tell us about your search, how you kind of narrowed it down, the process. From your perspective, how did that go?
It was kind of a chaotic year for me. There's just a lot of – it was the first year they did it, so I wasn't really sure what to expect, how hard they're going to hide it or anything.
Right.
I went out a lot of the times with friends. I'd go with different people all the time, but most of the time it was with my mom. I'd go searching for it.
Yeah.
And that's who I found it with, was with my mom.
Well, you can't beat that.
Oh, no, you can't.
I can't believe she didn't claim that she was the one that found it.
She didn't claim it, but I split the money with her.
I love it. That's only fair, right?
Yes, it is.
So there were a series of clues even that first year, right, that you had to interpret?
Yep, there was. There was a couple of secret clues we also got in addition to just the ones they gave out previous. But yeah, that was one of the funnest parts, was trying to figure out what to like interpret out of the clues, because you can read them one way or people can read them the other way and you just never know.
So true, so true. I've talked to a few people about that who've searched, including family members and friends. And what clues send one person north and east, send the other south and west. And
exactly. People were looking everywhere still.
Right. And as they unveil those clues, they get closer and closer. Can they kind of hone in? They're more specific, I guess, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So how many days did you spend out in the field looking for it?
Ooh, it's been a while, but I think it was about 11 days I spent out looking for it. I think it might have been 12 even. But
wow.
Yeah, almost 2 weeks.
And did your mom just happen to be with you on that particular day, or did she spend a lot of time with you?
She spent a lot of time as well. She was, yeah, I probably went with her more than anybody, but I also went with all my friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, she just happened to be there on that day.
Man, man. Did she help with the clue interpretation? Was she helping you kind of sleuth that together, piece it together?
Yes, she did. She was working part-time at the middle school at the time, and that's where I was attending. And so during breaks, I'd go in there, and we'd read the clues over when they'd come out. And, yeah, we'd just try to give each other input on where we thought it was.
So I've got to ask you, did you spend much time with your mom hiking the hills before this search began?
Oh, yeah. That's what me and my mom do for fun. We like to go out hiking all the time and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Oh, you can't beat that. My goodness.
You cannot.
That's some good bonding time, parent-child, right?
Yep.
Oh, I love it, the fact that she was willing to do that. So, Shaden, I got to ask, what did you do with the money? I mean, that's been 3 or 4 years now, but is it long gone? Did you put a little away?
So, I put, I think, a grand of it away. So, I split it with my mom, so she had the other money. I don't know what she did with her half, but yeah. I put a grand of it away, and that left me with $1,200 about, and so I had $200 of free money I could just spend on whatever, man, treats and stuff. And
man.
Then the other $1,000 just went to savings.
I'm guessing you were already popular at school, but you all of a sudden became far more popular.
Yes. That's one thing I did also with some of the money. I bought the whole middle school some treats and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I think if it had been me and I decided to do that, it would have been a penny candy, a Jolly Rancher each. I'd have kept that budget pretty small.
I think I got like Gatorades from all or something. It wasn't super big, but.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
Just something to give back.
That's so awesome. And so, Shaden, you're now, I'm assuming, 18, right?
Yep.
And for our listeners, Shaden is heading off to, is it North Carolina?
Yes, sir.
He's going to be serving a church mission. So locals and family are extremely proud of him and his willingness to put self aside and help other people. How awesome is that?
It's great. I'm so excited.
I can hear it and I can see it. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming in. It's been a pleasure having the Groves in here who started this, as well as yourself.
For having me.
One of the finders. One final question. Have you been looking every year since?
Yes, I have. Not as much, but I've been looking.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Gotcha. Well, thanks to our listeners for tuning in to another episode today. We really appreciate your attendance and your support. Please like and subscribe. And we will look forward to coming to you soon with another episode of The Magic of Kanab. This has been another episode of The Magic of Kanab podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Hal Johnson and produced by Relic.